Chapter 3. With both of the Ragarhis dead and Nadir reunited with her beloved axe, we all headed back up to the top of the hill to regroup.
So, I've been wondering, what is your island like then?
Ashanti asked as we walked.
It's obviously not anything like ours since this land and its creatures all seem so foreign to you.
It's much more tropical. The temperature is always very warm and very humid, and it storms all the time.
There's also a lot more beaches,
Mira added.
There's at least half a mile of sand along the edge of the entire island. The flora and fauna are much different as well.
Yeah, the creatures on your island are much more adapted to life on the plains, whereas most of our creatures are more equipped to live in a jungle.
A jungle?
Rikuri quirked her head to the side.
What type of a landscape is that?
You know how you only have about one tree every mile or two? Well, it's the exact opposite of that. In the jungle, there are nothing but trees as far as the eye can see.
Not just trees, either,
Mira continued.
There are plants of every shape and size all over the ground. The only way you can forge a path through the land is by cutting down everything that stands in your way. So, you don't have wide open valleys?
Ashanti muttered with a frown.
How in the world do you hunt, then?
It's a much different process. We mostly hunt fish in the water and wild boars that wander around in the foliage of the jungle.
But if there's so much foliage, how can you see to flank it? And how could you possibly chase it down on a mirak back?
You don't hunt from a mount. At least not in the jungle. You have to go on foot, and you have to try and lure your prey into a trap. That's the only real way you can catch anything. Unless you completely take it by surprise.
That is one of the advantages you don't have here. Back on our home island, we can use the dense flora to hide from our targets and sneak up on them in plain sight.
That sounds like a good skill to have.
Rikuri shrugged.
Perhaps you can teach us your ways if we ever venture off this island.
Venture off the island? I smiled at the hornless woman. Are you thinking of coming back with us when this is all over, Rikuri? The dark-haired rhino woman's face flushed, but she let out a slight scoff as she flicked a lock of hair from her face and shook her head.
I haven't thought of it much. Though I have thought about what happens next. If your romp in the fertility hut last night was successful, then our queen mother is surely pregnant with your child. And if that's the case, she'll almost certainly have to make the decision about whether or not she wishes to remain on this island or go off and live with her mate.
Would she really do that? There are so many Chera women here on this island, she wouldn't just give up her leadership, would she?
I think she would.
Ashanti interjected.
I don't think you understand what a big deal it'll be if Batari's pregnant, Draco Rex. It would be the first natural birth in our people's history, and the Queen Mother would surely want her child to be raised by both parents.
We've both been close friends with Batari since the beginning,
Rikuri added.
If there's one thing she always makes clear, it's that her duty to Tembori comes before all else, even her leadership as Queen Mother. Repopulating her species and raising the future King Father or Queen Mother of her people would almost certainly take priority over everything else.
Damn. By now I'd already assumed Batari was pregnant with my child, but I didn't even stop to think about what that might mean for her as a leader. This was certainly something we needed to talk about as soon as possible. Speaking of children, I changed the subject as another popped into my mind. Are you all right, Nadir? It looked like you were getting tossed around pretty harshly there.
I'm great, Ben,
Nadir reassured me as she patted her belly.
The armor Isla made us out of the mold bat creature has held up very well. I don't think even the sharpest sea glass spear could pierce this hide.
I wouldn't be so sure. We were able to kill that beast with nothing but our swords, spears, and axes.
But only because we knew how to get them to penetrate,
Lazan noted.
I don't think any of those creatures are clever enough to figure out that secret.
Probably not. But why take the risk if you don't have to, especially when you're pregnant?
Don't worry about it, father-to-be.
Nadir patted me on the shoulder.
Your child is safe and sound behind our thick kunag skin and these incredible breastplates of armor. If anything, our little one had a fun ride in my tummy.
Our small group continued until we came to the peak of the hill, where the rest of my crew remained in waiting. Their eyes perked up with excitement when they saw us approaching, and several of my friends ran over to meet us.
We watched the whole thing,
Darya explained as she dashed to me.
I'll admit I thought you were in trouble when the beast headed for the water.
So did I. That's why I made sure I killed the bastard before he got there.
There was no need to worry,
Nadir snickered.
The situation was under control. I had the Ragari right where I wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
Honora sounded skeptical.
And the Gargamo always lands on his feet, right?
Exactly,
the raven-haired raccoon woman proclaimed. Tyrion and George are the true MVPs of this battle. If not for them, we never would have caught up to the Regarhi in the first place. It was going way too fast for any of us to catch on foot.
Oh, you're too kind, dear one,
George said with a bow.
But we do not deserve to be called the MVPs of this scenario. We are just humble servants to our bondmate and king.
What are you talking about?
Tyrion mused.
I'll take the praise any day. That was way harder than I thought it was going to be.
Well, you both did a great job, I reassured the two dragons. Nadir and I both owe you our lives.
All part of my duty as a bondmate, dear one,
George reaffirmed.
I wish I knew what they were saying.
Batari sighed as she looked between the dragons and me.
Our land dragons were very intelligent creatures with their own personalities, thoughts, and opinions, and I know your dragons are no different.
They're not. I smiled at the Queen Mother. George and Tyrion are both very good friends of mine, and I'm sure Swaer will be one as well.
If the bonding of a wind dragon is anything like that of a water dragon, then whoever bonds with Swaer will be able to talk to all of them. This is what happened when I bonded with my dragon Nixie.
You can understand the dragons like Ben does?
Batari stared at Mira with wide eyes.
I can,
the golden-scaled warrior confirmed.
As can Tyrion's bondmate, Gemma, and two of Ben's children.
Wow.
The Queen Mother trailed off.
As selfish as it sounds, I really hope Swaer ends up choosing me as his bondmate.
Are you kidding?
Ashanti chuckled.
Did you see how he was all cuddled around her neck? There's no way he's picking anybody else.
You don't know that for sure.
Batari hung her head.
I may be the leader of the Chero people, but I'm not a strong warrior like you two or a masterful cook like Baratu.
We will see, Batari.
Ashanti walked over and placed her hand on her leader's shoulder.
That's all we can do.
How is Swaer doing anyways? I asked as I turned to Kandara. It's still pretty dark out here, and I don't want to just sit around on this hill until another predator shows up.
Ben is right.
Batari lifted her head, and her demeanor changed into something much more formal.
We might have been victorious against the Regarhis, but there are still many more creatures out there in the darkness, and I don't know when the storm will let up.
Let's check on the little fella,
Kandara said, with a happy flap of her emerald wings. The Morpho woman motioned for us to follow her, and then she led us back to the large wind dragon nest. We peeked over the side of the structure, and, much to our surprise, we saw Swaer curled up in a ball at its center. Most importantly, however, was the fact that there was nothing else around him.
He ate his egg!
Nima cheered as she bounced up and down on her feet.
Oh, thank goodness! That means we can return to the village now. I was starting to worry we'd have to camp out here tonight, and I didn't think my elderly back could take another night of sleeping on the ground.
What's the matter, Jonas? I teased the soothsayer. Can't hang with the adventurers like you used to?
Gah, I surely can hang with all of you. My back, on the other hand, might be having some issues with that.
You can rest easy, soothsayer. You and your back will be sleeping atop a nice bed of hay and cloth tonight. If we get through the darkness alive,
Batari noted.
For all we know, there could be dozens of predators out there just waiting for us to pass by them.
If there was only a way we could cut through the darkness,
Anora pondered.
Like a lantern or something similar.
Wait!
Mira gasped, and I saw the light bulb turn on in her head.
We do have a way to cut through the darkness. Tyrion!
Excuse me?
The silver dragon cocked his head curiously.
Your flames, Tyrion,
Mira explained as she approached him.
I'm not sure how long you're good to hold your fire breath, but it could light the way for us to go home.
Not to mention, it'd probably scare off any predators we might meet along the way. I know I'd be crapping myself if I was just sitting around and then saw a giant fire-breathing dragon headed toward me.
It will have to come in small spurts. I think the longest I've ever been able to hold my fire attack is a few minutes at a time.
A few minutes at a time will work. We'll just have to stick together and hope nothing comes after us during that minute or two in between.
Then it's settled.
Batari nodded.
We shall venture back to the village, guided by the light of the dragon.
Are you ready to go, Swaer?
Kandara bent over and put her hands on her knees like she was talking to a puppy. Swaer tilted his head at Kandara's words, but then he smiled as soon as he realized what that meant. The tiny red wind dragon then scuttled out of the nest, wrapped himself around Kandara's arm like a boa constrictor, and rested his snout on her chin with a long sigh.
I'll take that as a yes.
Now let's get out of here before more danger decides to come our way. The Chero women hopped on top of their Miraks and then invited Lazan and Nadir to join them, all while Nima and the twins got onto Tyrion. Meanwhile, Mira, Jonas, Anora, and I all climbed aboard the Water Dragon Express that was George, and Kendara, of course, flew up into the sky under the power of her wings. Then, once we were all safely on our modes of transportation, we began the long journey back to the Chero village. Tyrion lit the way with several-minute bursts of fire breath that not only lit the stormy sky, but also cleared away any animal herds in our path. The animals all scattered with terror when they saw the silver dragon approaching with white-hot fire spitting from his mouth, and I grinned at the sight. If there were any predators out there, there was no way in hell they were going to be coming after us. After about an hour or so of travel, the darkness and heat lightning began to dissipate, and soon we were walking under the light of day once more. Of course, it was a waning daylight, as we'd been out adventuring since the wee hours of the morning. We continued on for a few more hours until, finally, we were greeted with the sight of the Chero village. The multi-story clay buildings rose out of the landscape and towered over everything, like the grandiose structures they were. The entire village was nestled in the valley of a large mountain, which allowed the Chero women to see any threats that might be on their way from above or below. Eventually, we passed through the western gates of the city, where we were instantly greeted by a welcoming party, made up of the town's most prominent citizens. The Chero shaman, Zamwe, was at the front of the pack. Her long brunette hair waved back and forth behind her knees as she walked toward us in a shuffle, and her face seemed to be fixed in a permanent smile.
"Welcome back, Queen Mother and Draco Rex,"
the shaman proclaimed.
"We never once doubted we would see you again."
"I'm glad you didn't,"
Batari chuckled, as her Mirak sauntered in front of us.
"Because there were several times when we thought we wouldn't." "Are we to assume the Scudawar is defeated, then?"
Baratu, the village's cook, asked.
"Have you brought us back any remnants of its body? Maybe something I could use in a victory stew?"
"I'm afraid not, Baratu,"
the Queen Mother sighed.
"The body of the Scudawar remains in the wetlands, where it belongs, where the scavengers of our island can pick its bones clean as they return to the land where they once thrived."
"If the animals do return,"
Zamwe sighed and looked at the ground.
"For all we know, this land will never return to its former glory."
"Don't be so negative, Zamwe,"
Ashanti laughed.
"The animals are already coming back in droves. We saw it ourselves." "Yes!"
Baratu jumped up with ferocity, and her high blonde ponytail bounced happily along with the rest of her body.
"It looks like there are going to be many new menu options to try out."
The groans and worried mumbles passed through the crowd, but Baratu paid them no attention. Even though I'd only met this woman a day ago, I could already tell she was the kind of person who didn't give a damn what anybody thought of her or her work. She was dedicated to her craft, and she was going to do whatever the hell she wanted to do without any worries whatsoever. She and the Dragonkin chef, Holly, would probably get along swimmingly.
"There's more exciting news, too,"
Rikuri spoke up.
"Behold the mighty Swaer, the terror of the skies, and adorable furry snake."
Kandara flew up so everyone could see her, and then she brandished the red wind dragon that clung to her arm. Murmurs whispered throughout the Chero people as they watched Kandara and Swaer with wide eyes, but their voices went quiet when Batari raised her hand.
"The first wind dragon born since that scourge of a monster was sent to our island,"
the Queen Mother declared in a bombastic voice.
"Today is a day of great celebration. Today is the day the Chero people take back their destiny and return to the path Tembori has chosen for us."
The Rhino women responded by raising their arms to the air and unleashing a triumphant
Haroop!
They repeated the chant 5 more times before Ashanti strode up beside Batari on her Mirak.
"That's not the only reason for celebration, either,"
the three-horned rhino woman announced.
"The Queen Mother's with child."
"Tembori's tusks!"
Batari hissed as she shot Ashanti a nasty look.
"What are you doing? I wanted to keep that a secret for now."
"The Chero people need to know,"
Ashanti argued.
"This is a momentous occasion for our people, Queen Mother. If all goes well, you'll deliver us the first natural-born Chero child in our history. That's not something that should be kept a secret from your people."
"No, I suppose not."
Batari bowed her head. This time, there were no whispers in the crowd. Nobody gossiped, nobody admired the situation or celebrated. All we heard was stunned silence.
"Is it true, Queen Mother?"
Zamwe asked in a trembling voice.
"Are you truly with child?"
"I am. Guruwe has smiled upon us this day."
"How?"
a cautious voice asked.
"Draco Rex,"
Batari answered without hesitation.
We used the fertility hut, and it apparently worked.
This time there was lots of gossip and whispers.
Would the Draco Rex be willing to impregnate us, too?
One of the voices asked.
Please, I would like nothing more for the Draco Rex to plant a seed inside of me.
Another one interjected.
He is a very handsome man.
A random Chera woman observed.
We would make very fine children together.
I could feel my face turning beet red, though my cock was also slowly rising in my pants. Now that the cat was out of the bag, all of these beautiful, scantily clad rhino women wanted a piece of Benjamin Whitfield. And honestly, I was willing to give it to each and every one of them.
One step at a time, ladies. As much as I'm sure the Draco Rex would love to fulfill your requests, he's had a very long day. We all have.
It's not quite over yet, Queen Mother.
Zamwe reminded Batari.
If all of this is true, then you know what this means, right? If we're to have our first ever child born to the Chero people, then we must also celebrate with our very first festival of fertility.
The festival of fertility?
Batari trailed off.
Never in my life did I think we'd have a chance to celebrate that one.
Which is all the more reason to celebrate it, Queen Mother. Though my hopes are high, we may never get another chance to celebrate this monumental occasion in history.
Batari looked over her people and spent a long few minutes studying their hopeful expressions. Then she shrugged and turned to my crew and me.
You're not in a rush to get back to your island, are you? Can you stay for at least one more night?
Of course we can. I smiled at the rhino woman. My friends and I have achieved what we set out to do, so it only makes sense to take off some time to celebrate. Plus, we all had a blast at your last festival, so I wouldn't miss this one for the world.
It's true!
Nima grinned.
You Chero people truly know how to throw a party!
Then it's decided.
Batari announced.
We shall hold the festival of fertility come nightfall. Zamwe, would you get the preparations underway?
Right away, Queen Mother.
Zamwe bowed to her queen.
It may take the efforts of the entire village, but we will be ready come nightfall.
I'll get a stew going. Maybe some wide horn mixed with slither scale. Narawa.
Batari asked a woman in the crowd.
Rukuri and some of our new friends have weapons that were damaged in the battle. Do you think you could fix them? I can fix anything.
The random Chera woman chuckled.
Follow me.
Lazan, Mira, Zarya, and Rukuri all followed the new Chera woman down the street, while the rest of us sat there wondering what came next.
I don't know about the rest of you, but my old behind wishes to take a nap, especially if we're going to be up late again tonight.
That's not a bad idea, Eunice. I feel more tired than a fish swimming in a waterspout.
One by one, each of my friends parroted Jonas's words and announced they wanted to go take a rest. Batari reminded them her dwelling was still available for them to use, and that they could rest there for as long as they wished. So it didn't take long for Jonas, Honora, Nima, Nadir, Darya, and the dragons to wander away toward their designated sleeping quarters. What about you, Kendara? I asked the Morpho woman, who floated above me. Are you going to go rest, too?
I don't think so.
Kendara shook her short red locks.
I think I'm going to take Swire out just beyond the village border and play around with him some more. I've never met a wind dragon up close before, so I want to make sure I know everything there is to know about him while he's still young.
Spoken like a true zoologist. I winked at the butterfly woman. Swire must have thought the wink was meant for him, because he weakly tried to copy my action with his left eye. However, the little red dragon just looked uncomfortable as he squinted his peeper shut and grimaced. Close enough, little buddy. Close enough. Kendara patted Swire on the head, and then she fluttered away with him still in her hands. That just left me with the Chera woman.
What about you, Draco Rex?
Rukuri chuckled.
I think you've done the most work of all of us. Aren't you going to go try and take a short rest?
I might. I shrugged. I don't want to just let you guys all go off and do all the work for tonight, though.
Please, Draco Rex.
Zamwe pleaded.
You've already done your part quite well. Go and relax, and we shall bring you the greatest festival you've ever seen.
Can I at least do something small? Like help hang up a banner or carry a heavy barrel or help start the fire?
Here's an idea.
Ashanti suggested, as she dismounted her aunt.
You can take our Mirax back to the stables. That is a great idea.
Batari nodded, and then she slid off her beast as well.
While you're out there, you can send Zakiu our way. She is notably absent from the welcome party, and we will most certainly need her logistical skills to help plan the festivities.
Sounds like a plan. I smiled at the rhino women.
Now, I at least feel like I'm doing something productive. Will these guys listen to me, though? I'm not their master.
That won't matter. They know you're an ally, so they'll follow your commands as long as it doesn't put them in direct danger.
All right. I shrugged. Mirax, follow me, I guess. The three oversized ants looked my way, quirked their heads to the side, but then skittered over to my position. I gave them each an awkward pat on their heads as they dripped saliva from their mouths and made strange gurgling noises, but I wasn't fazed. These things may have been ugly, but they were friends of the Chero, and that made them friends of mine. I waved goodbye to the crowd of rhino women before I turned around and headed out toward the edge of the village, and the three Mirax and I wandered out of the city limits into the sprawling, grassy savanna that lay between the giant mountain and the wetlands. Eventually, I saw the small clay hut that sat next to the enclosed pasture and knew our destination was near. I led the oversized ants over to the wooden gate, popped it open, and stepped to the side as they all scurried inside.
There you go. You guys get some rest, too. You've traveled really, really far, and it couldn't have been easy with a passenger on your backs the entire time.
They don't really care about that.
A soft voice corrected me from behind.
They're raised to be battle Mirax from birth, so the extra weight doesn't bother them at all. In fact, it actually feels stranger for them to not have a rider.
I gently closed the gate and then turned around to see Zukiyu standing before me. The beautiful Chero woman stood with her arms crossed across her chest, and her wide hips popped out to the left. Her bobbed brown hair fluttered in the winds of the savannah, as did the loincloth that covered her nether regions. Zakiyu's bright red markings glistened with sweat in the closing light of the day, and the sun glistened off the golden jewelry that dangled from her ears and around her neck. The Chero woman was somewhat shorter than I, so I had to slightly stoop down to look her in the eyes. Zakiyu's dark gaze was full of intrigue as she looked back at me, and her button nose twitched along with her mouth. Hello, Zakiyu. I smiled at the woman. Your queen mother is actually looking for you right now.
I bet she is. And she's not going to find me unless she comes out here herself, right?
Right. I'm guessing that means you won't be attending the festival, then.
Festival?
The short Chero woman raised an eyebrow.
We're throwing a festival for the defeat of the Scudawar?
No, not for the defeat of the Scudawar. I shook my head. It's the Festival of Fertility. Zakiyu's smile instantly faded, and her eyes went wide. Then the brunette began to fidget back and forth nervously on her feet, and she seemed to look past me as she spoke.
The Festival of Fertility? Does that mean one of the Triumvirate is pregnant?
The Triumvirate?
Batari, Rikuri, and Ashanti.
Zakiyu explained.
They're the three most influential Chero women in our village, so we've dubbed them as the Triumvirate. I'm assuming one of them is pregnant and by your doing?
Well, it certainly wasn't Jonas, and it definitely wasn't done with a hand. But yes, Batari is pregnant.
Oh.
The brunette woman murmured, though I sensed she wasn't as excited as the rest of the village.
I'm happy for her. This is big news for our people.
You don't sound very happy. Is something wrong?
No!
Zakiyu shook her head vigorously.
I really am happy for her and for what this means to our people. It's just... No. Actually, it's a really stupid thought, so I won't even waste your time explaining.
There's no such thing as a stupid thought. I lied. You can tell me anything, you know? I'm not going to run and blab to the rest of the Chero women.
Are you sure?
Zakiyu's voice trembled a little.
Because it's kind of a big thing.
I promise, I nodded.
Well, this is stupid, but I'd always kind of hoped I would be the first one of us to get pregnant. I know it was a long shot, and I don't blame you one bit. I mean, who wouldn't want to impregnate the Queen Mother and continue her royal bloodline?
That's not stupid at all. I had no idea you wanted a child.
Of course I do. Why do you think I'm always out here taking care of the Mirax? They're the closest thing we had to children until you showed up on our island and made it possible to have an actual child.
Oh, that was actually kind of sweet. Zakiyu must have had a natural motherly instinct, and the only way she could show it was by substituting giant horse-like ants for a real child. You know it doesn't end with Batari, right?
It doesn't?
The short rhino woman asked, as she put her hands on her hips. Of course not. I'm not the kind of guy to just knock up a queen and then stop. I want to help all of you repopulate, including you, Zakiyu. The brunette woman's cheeks turned a dark shade of red, and she clasped her hands together and twiddled her thumbs around in a circle as she looked down at my feet, though her dark eyes soon rose up to meet mine.
Are you sure? 'Cause I would like nothing more in the world than to have my own child.
I'm 100% sure, I promised, as I reached out and took Zakiyu's hand in my cheek. If that's what you want, of course.
I mean, it's still not too late to go get Jonas, if you don't really care who the father is.
No! Of course I want it to be you. I mean, look at you. I fantasized about the man who would impregnate me for a very long time, but I never could have imagined they would be as handsome as you.
Just wait until she saw my cock. I already knew it would drive her wild. And I couldn't imagine myself getting with a woman as beautiful as you, I said, as I stroked the soft gray skin of Zakiyu's cheek.
Stop. Look at all the beautiful women you've been with. There's no way you actually mean that about me.
Of course I do. I smiled, and I looked deep into the brunette's eyes. You're a very beautiful woman, Zakiyu. Zakiyu bit her lip as both her hands wrapped around the small of my back. She then leaned into my body, brought her mouth up to my ear, and whispered the sweet nothing I wanted to hear.
Then fill me with your seed, Draco Rex. Do it now.
Instantly, all of the blood in my body rushed to my loins, and I felt my pants tightening around my growing erection. Within seconds, I was hard as a rock, so hard that my dick was pressed directly against Zakiyu's thigh. The Chero woman gasped when my still-covered cock touched her, and then she pulled back, bit her lip, and looked down at my manhood. Do you want to see it? We can go inside the hut and I'll...
I want to see it here.
Zakiyu demanded.
I want to see your manhood in all its glory, and then I want you to take me right out here on the savannah where I belong.
A woman who knew what she wanted. That was always a plus. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling that this spot was a bit too public. Can we at least go around the house? I don't want to accidentally give the rest of the village a show.
Fine.
Zakiyu shrugged.
Even though you're going to be doing that to all of them eventually anyway.
I snatched up the short woman's hand and then led her back behind the clay dwelling. Now that we were back here, we were covered on one side by the hut itself and then on the other by the large grassy hill. Sure, we'd be screwed if somebody came around the side of the building, but at least we had a little bit of privacy back here. The second we were alone, Zakiyu started to feel me up.
Oh, wow. I never in my wildest dreams thought the man I first pleasured would be so big.
Oh, that's nothing. Wait until you see it without the fabric over it. I took off my weapons belt, tossed it to the side, and then slid my thumbs behind my waistband. Next, I slowly slid my pants down my legs and released my erection from its hiding spot. As my full member sprang to attention in the open air, Zakiyu let out a soft moan, and I barely had time to get my pants off my ankles before the short, chocolate-haired Chera woman was on her knees. Zakiyu then reached back, undid the straps on her leather top, and let it fall away from her chest. The rhino woman had cute breasts, ones that were deceptively small behind clothing, but full and perky when they were seen in all their glory. Her dark gray nipples were thick and puffy, and they were both erect with anticipation, as she took my manhood in her hands. You like what you see?
I love it,
Zakiyu moaned.
Oh, you know how long I've waited for this moment? Long, long time. And when I saw you arrive yesterday, this has been on my mind ever since.
You've been thinking about my I started. But then I was overtaken by a massive wave of pleasure when the woman began to stroke me. Zakiyu's dark, wet tongue flopped out of her mouth and then pressed up against the side of my dick. She ran it up the entire length, then back down, and swirled it around my balls as she went. And the entire time, the Chero woman used her right hand to gently tug on my erection and keep me at full mast. Her tongue was soft and wet, and I already felt my knees tensing up with anticipation as she pleasured me. My hands ran through Zakiyu's brown locks as she licked me like a lollipop, and I had to lean back against the side of the house to keep myself from collapsing.
You like that, don't you?
Oh, fuck, yes I do. Your tongue is so damn wet, and you really know how to use it.
Wait till you see what I can do with the other parts of my body.
The woman winked, and then she returned her focus to my cock. Soon, Zakiyu's mouth took another action. She gave my shaft and balls one last pass with her tongue before she put her lips against the tip of my dick. Before she actually slid it into her mouth, Zakiyu made several circular motions with the tip of her tongue, and my knees just about gave out from under me right then and there. Ugh! Damn, these Chero women might have never been with a man before, but they sure as fuck knew what they were doing. They were horny as hell, and I guessed they'd had hundreds of years to fantasize and practice. Finally, Zakiyu opened wide and shoved herself down onto my cock.
The woman stopped about a quarter of the way down, made a gagging noise, and then froze. It's all right. Take it as slow as you need to. I know it's a lot to handle. Zakiyu's eyes shot up at me and narrowed in response. She must have thought I was challenging her abilities because her brow furrowed, and then she forced herself further down onto me.
Oh, fuck!
I leaned my head back as her warm, wet mouth swallowed me up inch by inch. Zakiyu eventually got all the way down my shaft, and I nearly blew my load when her tight throat constricted around the top of my penis. Once she was all the way down and knew her throat could handle all of me, Zakiyu began to pull back and then bob forward once more. The chocolate-haired woman got into a rhythm, and I was on cloud fucking nine. It didn't take long for the warm coil in my abdomen to tighten, as did my balls. I knew if Zakiyu kept going like this, I was going to fucking explode, so I took control of the situation. I gripped the Chero woman's hair, gave it a light tug, and pulled her mouth off my dick.
What's wrong? Don't you like what I'm doing?
I fucking love it. Oh, but it's my turn to pleasure you. Switch places with me.
Switch? But how?
Just do it. Zakiyu hopped up to her feet and then walked over to the wall beside me. At the same time, I yanked off my shirt, threw it on the ground, and got down onto my knees in front of the sexy rhino woman. I then reached up and undid the strings on Zakiyu's bottoms and finally pulled the leathery fabric away from her womanhood. Zakiyu's tender slit was completely clean-shaven, and her clitoris was swollen with excitement. Her pussy was practically dripping when I pulled away the fabric, and I couldn't wait to get a taste of her sweet love juices. So I placed one hand on the bottom of Zakiyu's left leg, lifted it up into the air, and then moved in for the kill. I kissed up her inner thigh softly as I inched toward her womanhood, and I felt the Chero tremble with excitement.
What are you doing?
I'm about to rock your fucking world. That's what I'm doing. When I finally got to Zakiyu's pussy, I teased it some more. I kissed her pelvis just above where her clit begged me to lick it. And once I had her right where I wanted her, I moved my mouth down and pressed it against her clitoris. Zakiyu let out a long, deep moan when I ran my tongue over her swollen button. And then she tensed up when I started to go in a crisscross pattern.
Oh God, Draco Rex! I don't know how you're doing that, but don't stop!
Oh, I didn't intend to. I slowly reached up and slid two of my fingers into Zakiyu without so much as an iota of resistance. Her pussy was practically a monsoon, and she dripped down my hand as I started to finger her gently. Zakiyu's velvet tunnel tightened around my fingers as I began to make a circular motion against her clit, and her whole body started to freeze. I continued my motions until Zakiyu's moans grew closer and closer together, and her legs became so high-strung that I worried they were going to snap. When I finally switched up my tongue's pattern again, Zakiyu lost it. The brunette woman screamed as she orgasmed, and then her juices pulsed across my tongue in waves. Her ecstasy lasted for several seconds before she finally relaxed and slumped back against the clay dwelling. And I gave her pussy one last kiss before I pulled away, wiped her sweet juices from my mouth, and smiled. Well, I grinned. How did you like that? Zakiyu's hair was completely frazzled and unkempt, and her eyes told me she'd just been transported to another fucking planet.
What do you think?
She growled and furrowed her eyebrows.
Oh, that was incredible, Draco Rex.
I do what I can. I shrugged. Now, are you ready for the next part? The part where I fill you with my seed. Zakiyu ran a hand through her unkempt hair, bit her bottom lip, and nodded firmly. But when I went to stand and make my move, her delicate hand pressed against my chest.
On the ground,
Zakiyu ordered.
I want to ride you.
Well, I wasn't going to argue with that one. Zakiyu was this island's equivalent of a horse girl. And if there was one thing I remembered from the various horse girls I dated throughout my life, it was that they were mind-blowing in the cowgirl position. So I laid back on the soft ground without a moment's hesitation. The grass of the savanna tickled my back and sent goosebumps all up my arm. But I didn't really give a fuck. This beautiful Chero woman was about to take me on the ride of my life. Fuck, for all I cared, I could have been laying on a bed of needles. I wasn't going to let anything stop what was coming next. Zakiyu got down on her hands and knees and crawled over to my cock. She gave it a playful kiss as she passed by, and then she made sure to drag her thick, puffy nipples across it.
Precum oozed out of my tip like a volcano, threatening to explode, and the sight only made her 10 times more excited. Finally, the rhino woman positioned her pussy over my erection, reached down, and then guided me inside of her. Zakiyu's velvet tunnel was beyond tight. It was honestly to the point where I was worried I was going to literally split her in half. Zakiyu got about halfway down before she stopped and sighed. Then she took a deep breath, recomposed herself, and continued down onto my shaft. Eventually, I bottomed out inside of her pussy, and both of us let out a primal moan to show our gratitude. Her pussy had me like a vice, and I knew I must have been stretching her out by the second. Still, Zakiyu was more than ready for what came next. The chocolate-haired woman looked down at me and placed both her hands onto my bare chest, and at the same time, I reached out and clasped my hands around her firm, tight ass.
Hold on, Tad.
Zakiyu gave me one last wink, and then she went to town. The rhino woman bounced up and down on my cock like she was on top of an exercise ball. Her tight ass slapped against my balls as her perky tits jiggled in unison with her body, and the woman threw her head back so I could see her figure in all its glory.
Oh, fuck, your pussy is so tight.
You're so big. Oh, you're splitting me in half, Draco Rex.
Be careful. I don't want to accidentally hurt you.
Please.
The rhino woman growled.
If anything, I'm the one doing the hurting.
Suddenly, Zakiyu increased her pace 10-fold, and she started to ride me with the vigor of a fucking jockey. My balls were now practically inside of my body as they awaited their sweet release. But I was going to hold on for as long as I could. Zakiyu was totally rocking my world, and I didn't want this to end a second before it had to. As Zakiyu continued to fuck me hard, I let my hands wander around her amazing body. I gave her tight little ass a smack before I gripped onto her hips, and then I reached up and tweaked her erect nipples with my fingers. Zakiyu responded with a deep moan, so I continued to explore every inch of her sensually. Eventually, however, the beautiful rhino woman reached her limit.
Feel it again?
She gasped as she rode me raw. The sound of Zakiyu's carnal pleasure sent me over the edge, so when she came down again, I grabbed her hips, pushed as deep into her as I could go, and then unloaded into her like a fire hose into a cereal bowl. Electricity raced up my spine, and my muscles locked together as I came inside the Chero woman. Her virgin womb drank all of my special gift, and soon our sounds of ecstasy grew softer and softer until they faded away completely. Zakiyu and I both stared deeply into each other's eyes as we finished our climaxes, and then the short brown-haired woman climbed off of me. A bit of my cum ran down her leg as she moved, but she quickly dabbed it up with her fingers, held it up to her tongue, and lapped it away. Zakiyu licked her lips and made a sound before she walked over to her clothes and picked them up. And I just laid there and watched as the beautiful woman tied her leather bottoms back around her waist and then fastened her top on her chest. Soon after, I stood to my feet, wandered over to my pants, and yanked them back up my legs. I found my shirt and belt immediately after, so I pulled those on too.
Well?
I asked the Chero woman with a wide grin.
How was it?
Everything I'd hoped for and more,
Zakiyu said with a longing sigh.
Thank you, Draco Rex.
Ben, I corrected the woman. I think we're close enough now that you can call me Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
Zakiyu giggled, and then she patted her exposed stomach.
I just hope it all takes.
Trust me, it'll take. It almost always does on the first try.
I hope you're right.
The chocolate-haired woman nodded.
Because if you are, we're gonna have a child together.
I can't fucking wait, I promised. And then I gave the woman a peck on the cheek.
Who knows? Maybe if I become official, they'll throw another one of these festivals for me.
Oh, shit! I slapped my head and chuckled. But that was the whole reason I came out here.
To what? To make love to me?
Well, I was kind of hoping it would go that way. But originally, Batari had me coming out here so I could grab you. The Queen Mother claims she needs your logistical skills to help set up the Festival of Fertility.
They don't need me. They're all more than capable of putting together the festival on their own. However, if they insist, I guess we should get back there.
Let's go, then. I held out my arm for the woman to take. Zakiyu wrapped her arm around mine, and then we began our journey back to the village. But when we rounded the first corner, we both let out a gasp of surprise, followed by a hearty laugh. Several of the Miraks had gathered at the fence line closest to the dwelling,
and they all stood there with their antenna twitching in the air.
Oh, they must have heard us and come to inspect. The Mirax are very curious creatures.
I'm just glad they stopped here. I'm not sure how well I'd have performed if there was an audience watching, even if they weren't human. Zakiu and I continued, arm in arm, as we made our way back to the Chero village. The sun was just beginning to set on our long, tiring day, and that was a good thing. Now that the sun was down, it was time for the festivities to begin.